سلام 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 بسم الله الحمد لله السلام عليكم. By now you know that that means peace be unto you. This is a greeting that all the messengers of God greeted each other with, they greeted the people with, and we're greeting you with that same greeting. Peace be unto you. You won't find another group of people who are striving more towards peace. To have peace with their creator, to have peace with themselves, and to have peace with their fellow human beings, those are those who strive humbly to submit and to surrender to the one God, doing what he wants them to do on his terms. Those are the Muslims. You can be a Muslim anytime. You can do it right now or after the show. But think about this very important invitation. One man who we're going to be interviewing today, he accepted the call to submit and surrender to the one God, to do what all the messengers of God did. And that's Islam, submitting to God on his terms. Now, we're going to be talking to James, and we have a double treat for you. We have Sheikh Yusuf Estes. He's going to be interviewing this 85-year-old man who came to Islam, who came to the submission of one God, realizing that, you know what, I've been through everything, a lot of things, different things, and this is where I needed to be if I wanted to be successful. Time's running out. We might not make it to 85 years old. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about. The lights will go on after the party, and the party will end. And you will be alone, and you will have to be accountable for everything you've done. Life is not all about just chasing that man or woman or that good time. It's not all about the baseball game and the basketball game and chasing a position and getting a lot of wealth and money. There's more to this life. And it's up to you to be sincere enough within yourself and to want to know more. That's the first step. And then to ask the one who has created all this to guide you and to make things clear. That'd only be fair if you wanted it. It'd only be fair if he gave it to you, wouldn't it now? And he's willing to give it to you. He's willing to guide you because that's one of his attributes. He's the most loving, the most merciful, and he's the guide. But you want to want it first to be guided. So we're going to see how this man James was guided, and Sheikh Yusuf Estes is going to be talking to him, and then we'll come back. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode of The Dean Show.
Welcome to The Dean Show. No, I'm not Eddie. This is Yusuf Estes welcoming you to The Dean Show on behalf of Eddie and all the folks here at The Dean Show. Today's program is amazing and exciting with a lot of things happening. One of the biggest things of all, though, is an interview with a beloved brother of ours, a Muslim who came to faith of Islam in just recent months. And what's really interesting is about this, he has spent more than 85 years on this planet in investigating faith, finding out about people, and we'll let him tell his own story. That and more is all coming up right here on The Dean Show. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the praise to Allah, and we're now with our special guest today. We're with our brother James.
James, yes, 85 years of age. I just hope I'm strong enough to go through this interview. My throat has been giving me trouble.
Well, I was told that that's a brother just told me that's the gift of Hajj, is this special voice we get afterwards when we can't.
I believe so. I'm not alone in this, actually. Most of our companions in the party are in the same condition.
So we're here. Tell us where we are. Where are we located?
Well, we're located in Jeddah, in a rather nice hotel here.
Not very far from Mecca.
No, not very far. I don't know how many kilometers, but the journey time was about an hour or something like that. It, a lot depends on the traffic.
Yeah, it does. So why would we, you and I, be here in a place usually associated with Arabs and that type of thing?
Well, we're here as a newcomer to the Muslim faith. I'm bound to come here, if Allah wills, during my lifetime, at least once. And I've been most fortunate with the people who have helped me come to the position I'm in today, and you're one of them, Brother Yusuf, to have this marvelous experience to come on this Hajj. It really has been. It's not been easy for me because I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'm not really, to be quite honest, used to a lot of crowds of people, but it's been worth it, and I've struggled on, and I think I've completed everything as it should have been done, inshallah.
That and more. I've been with you right along, and I'm sure that you've done that and more, inshallah. And then we would like to ask you a question. Through your life, now you're 85 years old, mashallah, and this is, many people never attain that age, but in your experience, could you give us a little background, some of the places you've been, things you've done?
Well, I was born in Scotland a long time ago. I have a middle-class family. My father's a doctor, but they were overseas in Nigeria, and he was overseas, and I didn't really see much of him, so I grew up with Scottish Presbyterian Christian relatives, and they gave me the background of believing in God and worshiping Him. And then complications came on in that scheme later on. I went to a Roman Catholic school, and I was confused and never really adjusted too well to what was then a sort of new religion to me. And then after the 5 years in the Air Force during the war, I went to...
Now, which war would this be?
The Second World War. Sorry.
1940s.
Yeah, the 39 to 46, I think it's finished at 45. After that, I managed to obtain a job with a large company in the Red Sea based in Aden, and spent a year in London learning the business, and went out there. And that was when I first came into contact with people of the Muslim faith, mostly Arabians.
Oh, so you're not a newcomer to meeting Muslims?
No. I worked with them. We worked with all kinds of people there of different faiths. But I learned something about the Quran then and the Islam at that time, which would be about 1949 to 1952 when I was there. And then after that, I came back to Britain for a short time because my contract wasn't renewed there. I liked to have stayed there. But in many ways, Allah was looking kindly on me because a lot of my friends didn't survive the sort of breakup of their colonial days in the British colony to what is now, and it's had a troublesome background. Then I went to Hong Kong for a short time, working in a business company there.
Now, were there any Muslims in Hong Kong?
No, I never met any Muslims. I was completely divorced from any sort of religion, really, by that time. And then I went to Africa, to the Central African Federation, Rhodesia, as it was then called, now called Zimbabwe, and got a simple job, which is more to my suiting, with the health department, killing mosquitoes and...
You were a mosquito killer.
I was a mosquito killer and killing and dealing with the problem of schistosomiasis. That's a difficult word to pronounce, bilharzia, which can be caught from going into rivers. So I worked for them for a while, and then the Federation broke up. It's a long story, and we haven't got time for that. And I transferred across to the Veterinary Department and worked in tsetse fly control very successfully. Until I took and then the war years come on. I wasn't involved in any religious experience at that time. And eventually I got back to Britain, but then went back to Africa again. But in the circumstances in Zimbabwe today, I came back to London about 5 years ago.
I see. So now you're not a fly killer anymore.
Not a fly killer.
Just on an individual basis.
That's very true. But then I thought to myself, look, you're getting on in age now. Now, you've always believed in God, but you haven't been praying to Him or worshiping Him for years. So it's about time you got down and did something about it. Now, nobody forced me, but I always had a feeling that that Jesus is only a prophet, one of Allah's prophets. And I thought that the Muslim religion was the only one for us. So I decided...
So you already had this embedded in the background of it somewhere.
It must have been. It wasn't something that popped up After seeing the rather, what I consider to be appalling way the country had gone downhill with so much promiscuity and greed, gluttony and what have you, all the evils that the Holy Quran tells us we should avoid and fight. So I decided to become a Muslim. Nobody twisted my arm, nobody forced me, but it was just through Allah's intervention that completely, almost not accidentally, but I was making a money transfer to some poor Africans in South Africa who were suffering. I'm not a rich person, but through a money exchange shop, an internet cafe, which was run by a Somali chap. Now, I'd been to Somaliland, and my brother had been a doctor in Somaliland at one time, so they weren't completely strangers to me. So I realized that this fellow was quite a religious Muslim, religious Somali, rather, I should say, and he introduced me to the Al-Muntada Al-Islamic Center in Parsons Green. And I went down to see them one day, and there and then I was accepted. I made the Ashadu.
The Shahada.
Shahada. Excuse me, I'm really...
That's all right. Go ahead.
And I went, and then I, on the 10th of June, 2008, and it's been the best thing I've done.
In your whole life, now you're talking about through your whole life, what does this stand out as the most...
I think it must be, yes it is. Certainly the most rewarding, and to be coming, speaking to you today in this place, it's almost miraculous.
It is for me as well. I have to tell you that ordinarily when we have guests, I don't like to interrupt them, but I have to tell you something. The minute I met you, I was so happy to make your acquaintance, and I prayed that Allah would let us be together for this Hajj. I'm so thankful to Allah for us to get to be here for this, the experience that we shared together, people we met together, things that happened. Some were kind of comical, some were a little tough.
Yes, it hasn't been all that straightforward. It never is. But as you said to me, I think on one occasion when you saw me sort of falling by the wayside and that except, but falling down, you'd say, "Well, it's not supposed to be easy. It's really hard, you know." And so I sort of braced my shoulders again and sort of dug into that Scottish toughness, you know, and survived. Very, very thankful to you, not only to you, but to all the brothers that have been in your team here. They've looked after me so well. Without the strong arms and shoulders of our brother from Columbia in South Carolina, I don't think I would have made it on the last day, which was very, very crowded. But I managed to get up close, pretty close to the Kaaba, and this was, I could hardly believe it. I can hardly believe I was there, you know. I'd seen pictures of the Kaaba in the old days in Aden, and it seemed to be a small building in the middle of the desert, and I arrived here, and you know, you can hardly... It was certainly an experience that I didn't expect, but everything's worked out very well. It's not easy for an 85-year-old person. We don't have to go into the details there. It's not easy, but thanks to you and your... And your team, I've managed to survive.
We say thanks to Allah that any of us survived.
that is very true.
I want to ask you now about the word in Arabic. It's called tawheed or monotheism. How important is that?
I think it's very important. It's very important to everybody, irrespective of the sort of time in life. But when you get old, doesn't matter what you've done in the past, you've got to look ahead. What have you got to look ahead to? You've got to look ahead to the afterlife, which Allah has promised us. And to get there, you have to belong to the Muslim faith, follow the advice and the rules, and live the rest of your life in the way that Allah and the Holy Quran instruct you to do. This is easier for a person like myself who has had a belief in God, although it hasn't been shown very much, but has a basic belief in God. It's easy to make this conversion. It might be more difficult for you to convert people who don't believe in anything or don't worship anything.
You're saying atheists would be harder to come to them.
Yes, I would think so very much.
That's been our experience, actually, that the atheist is committed to nothing.
But I think that's true. But going back to Africa, which I had a lot of experience there, most Africans and part of Africa that I've been to have never had any chance, real chance, of knowing about the Muslim faith or having anybody tell them about it. And they're people that I think would welcome some initiatives there because they have a basic belief in a God.
One of the things we spoke about earlier is the ease of understanding, I guess, the beliefs, because it's not difficult to understand there's one God, do what he wants you to do, but to implement it or put it into practice, this is where the difficulty comes.
The difficulty comes, of course, it's with an individual. It's I have an age now where they, shall we say, the sins of the flesh are behind me now, and I haven't really been drunk a martini for a few years, and I've never been a gambler. I don't believe in the stock exchange, and I'm not a greedy person. In fact, I'm struggling to keep my weight down. I live on less than £3 a day, which is about $6. So you know, but it's not everybody can do this. So I appreciate that. It's going to be hard.
Some people, it's harder. It's not about giving up a form of religion. It's giving up a form of, a worship of the material things.
Oh, very much so. The material things, and as we've seen now, I mean, they're all falling apart a bit, but the material things, I mean, you've only got to go to a supermarket in London and see that people in medical terminology stricken with obesity, walking out with trolleys full of liquor and food, enough to feed an army of Africans, you know, for about a month. And this is just the weekend business.
And so much waste.
Oh, yes, terrible waste. I never waste anything. One of the things, it's nothing to do with my being a Muslim, it's just the way I'm built. I never waste anything because... if you had surpluses, you'd give them away to people who needed it. You know, as I do, I support a family in Africa that for many years now, and every year I go out for a couple of weeks, and I don't go over to Zimbabwe at the moment, but this year in April, I'm going back to South Africa, and my friend will bring the old pickup down, the baki as we call it, down, and we'll fill it up with food and take it back to his place in Gwara. I'm hoping to go with him to see some of his four children, because I haven't seen them for a long time. But that's my interest in life. I live by myself, but I look upon them as my family, and it gives me something. You don't just sit and do nothing, but you can't do a great deal if you're miskeen.
Miskeen means?
Means being rather poor.
Impoverished.
Impoverished.
Yes.
Impecunious.
We're going to throw out all the big words.
Gosh, yes.
Let us now ask you to give us, as you did throughout the Hajj, the pilgrimage that we shared together, all of us, and there were quite a few of us together, we looked forward to hearing from you on many occasions. We would ask you questions, and now, again, we're going to ask you to give us some advice.
Well, I'm not very sure what audience we've got here.
This is the world at large.
I would say, take a look at yourselves. Are you leading a good life? Do you feel that you're good in life? Do you feel that you're committing sin? It's not sins that have been written down or told you, but something in your heart, in your body. Are you doing something you think is wrong? Do you not think you could possibly do things better? Maybe not be so greedy. Maybe help other people. Maybe pay more attention to God, Allah. If you do that, realize that He's there looking after you. And not only that, He's there to care for you when you leave, depart from this life. It's very important. And all the rules are laid down. Think about Him. Come to Him. And the best, if when you decide that it's time something will come, go to your local masjid, mosque, or Islamic center. Find someone that you can talk to in your, if your own cultural background is better, to find someone like yourself that they can help you answer the many questions you have. And I tell you that you will feel a lot better, feel a great deal better when you've accomplished this and come to terms with Allah, and certainly with all the people in the last years of your life. And if you're a young person, it goes for that as well. But and if you're younger, the more advice you need from people much more experienced than I am. No experience. I only became a Muslim in the 10th of June this year, so I'm unable to instruct you all that well. But somebody like our brother here, Yusuf, will be able to guide you in the right direction. And I advise you all to do this before it's too late, because people often say to me, why have you become a Muslim? Now, you know, you could spend about an hour giving an answer, but I give a very rather frivolous answer. I say, I want to be on the side of the angels when Allah decides to pull the final curtain down on this place. Now you think about that. I advise you to get on the side of the angels and don't leave it too late.
Very good advice. Very, very good advice. And for me, I felt that it was personal to me as well. Thank you so much, James, for sharing the Hajj with us and sharing your life with us. And especially thank you for taking the time to be with us and give us this good advice. We love you so much. And you're our brother in Islam, and we look to you like our father. We love you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, that's our program for the Dean Show for this week. Eddie will be back with you next week. And until then, we ask that the words that our brother James shared with us today will become a part of our lives, influencing us properly, correctly, that we can also have this great relationship with our Lord, to be close to Allah, and also the teachings of our Prophet Muhammad when he told us that our relationship with Allah should be reflected in our relationship with the people. And whoever doesn't thank the people doesn't thank Allah. So we thank our brother James and all the brothers that helped us to have our Hajj. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, for giving us the tawfiq, the success in having our Hajj and having this program with you. Until next time, for the Dean Show, I'm Yusuf Estes. Salam alaikum, which means peace be unto you.
And there you have it, another person sharing their wonderful story with us. James, 85 years old. And I'd like to thank Sheikh Yusuf Estes for helping us out with this interview. I hope this story that James got to share with you is something that will have an impact in your life for those people who are still seeking the truth, wanting to know the truth. After hearing his story and watching some of our other shows, that you acknowledge and you're ready to acknowledge that, you know what, you're smart enough to know that there is a creator behind all of this, that this universe and everything in it did not just come by chance, that there's an orchestrator, there is one who is sustaining and maintaining it, and he is the most wise. He did not just create this all in mere play and foolishness, that I will have to go back to the giver of life, the one who has made me, and I'm going to have to answer for everything that I've done in this world, especially what I believed in my heart, and that the signs that he gives to an individual and to the nations, did I accept his signs? And this is one of them. Know that you are intelligent enough, and it's in your very nature when the truth comes to you, that it's simple to understand. It's nothing complicated. It's a way of life that all the messengers of God brought. They all taught the same way of life, submission and surrender to the one God. He is the most merciful. He is the most gracious. He is the King. He is the only Holy One. He is the peace. He is the giver of safety. He is the mighty. He is the powerful, the majestic. He is the only true creator. He is the maker of shapes, the most forgiving, the sustainer, the all-knowing, the all-hearing, the most high. He is the protector. He is the most wise, the most loving. He is the giver of life and the giver of death. He is truly the self-existing. He's truly independent of all. And we are all dependent on Him. Try not taking the air in that He's given you. See if you're truly independent, which you are not. He is the only one truly independent, and He is all-powerful. He is ever-living, the all-rich. This is the one true God. In Arabic, we say Allah. In Aramaic, the language that Jesus, this mighty messenger, spoke, he would say Allah. In Hebrew, Allah. So it doesn't take a person with many brain cells to figure out that the English language, Moses, Jesus, Abraham, they never spoke any of this. They didn't speak English. They never said God. So when you put the pieces of the puzzle together, Allah, 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 this is the God. And we just gave you some of His attributes. So you know that this is the one that I want to worship. This is the one that I want to turn to, who I want to guide me. He is the one, the self-sufficient master, who begets not, nor was He begotten, to whom there is no co-equal or comparable, who has no wife, no child, no siblings. This is the one God. He loves you, He wants to guide you, and He will forgive all sins. But you got to turn to Him, and you got to want it. We talked about some of these other things early in the show, that the lights will come on, the party will be over, this life will end, you'll be accountable for your sins. And you know, we got a lot of them. We're coming to a close. All I want to say is that we care for our brothers in humanity, and we want everybody to be in paradise. And paradise is eternal. Why barter something temporary, which is this life, for something eternal? Why would you risk paradise for something and a pleasure that's always in the past tense? I was here, I went there. It will all end. It will all be a past tense. In paradise, it just keeps getting better and better. And all you got to do is, one, ask for the guidance. And when it comes to you, submit to this one God and strive to be the best human being you can be, doing what this Creator wants you to do, doing it on His terms, not your terms. That's all we have for today. I hope that you got to benefit. Continue tuning in every week to The Dean Show. And until next time, Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you.